Okay, we are recording. Hi, I am a pilot, but at my home church, I'm a Sunday school teacher. And I've been teaching the same Sunday school class for a long time. And I teach Old Testament Bible characters. A lot of things happen in Old Testament Bible characters. I love teaching Old Testament Bible characters. You got people conquering things, people getting killed in creative ways, and it's just a lot of stuff going on there. So we just finished the story of Joseph. And you think, of all the years I've taught it, I should have it memorized forward, backwards, got everything figured out. And it seemed like each time you go forward, you think, oh, I never thought of this. I've never considered that. And I can't teach all of Joseph in the 45 minutes we have, but I'm going to try. I want to get towards the end of the story, so I'm going to briefly go through the beginning of it and jump right into the meat of the story that I want to get to at the end. Now, some ground rules here. So we study Old Testament Bible characters. You guys have all, since you were little kids, you've heard the stories. You know the ending before you started the story. But and especially when you get to Joseph, we know the coat of many colors. You probably colored him in when you were in kindergarten. And colored the picture coats in your Sunday school class. But we know it's a happy ending. But just go picture from Joseph's perspective. He doesn't know the ending. Yes, he has the dreams. But for a while, those dreams look far, far away. And just consider, if you were in his shoes and had no assurance other than those two dreams, how would you feel? What would you go through? What would you be like? And just that really brings the story alive. So, regarding Joseph, you've probably heard, maybe, perhaps, maybe not, Joseph is a type of Christ. You've all heard that before? That means Joseph in his life either responded like Christ would or went through the same experiences that Christ did. I use a biography series, and in the last chapter, it lists 101 things that Joseph was like Christ, or Christ was like Joseph. And I'm probably, there's probably more than that from all the different experiences. So now talking about Joseph again, three sets of dreams, three double dreams. The two Joseph got at the beginning, the two when he's in prison, and two with Pharaoh at the end of the story. Always repeated. God likes to repeat things because this is important. This is important. He's emphasizing a point here. And maybe that's why he emphasized it with Joseph. That's all Joseph had for many years. But I know they seem far away. Let's jump right into it. So, as you know, the coat of many colors, Joseph was the favorite. And some people say, well, okay, Rachel, his mother, was obviously the favorite wife. But obviously Joseph had the character to be the one in charge. He showed himself far above his brothers, far he excelled above everyone, above his father. He just excelled. So he's coat of many colors. He has the dreams. I'm going to go quickly till we get to the story here. So he has the dreams. His brothers hated him because of the dreams, as you recall that. His father rebuked him. We had the first dream of the sheaves, and his sheaves stood up, and his brother's sheaves bowed down to him. Then he had the dream of the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him. His father rebuked him for that. Does that mean your mother and I are going to bow down to you? You all recall that. And then his father sent him on a journey to go check on the brothers. And the brothers saw him away off, coat of many colors. Can't hide that. And all the dreamers coming to check on us, coming to spy on us. And they decided to, let's just get rid of this. We're tired of him. So I believe it was Simeon's idea. Let's just kill him. Let's just get rid of him. Get him rid of once and for all. Reuben stepped forth. No, let's don't kill him. He's our brother. And Simeon was going to kill him, and they were going to throw him into a pit. Reuben kept him alive, but he was still thrown in the pit. So the circumstances, his situation changed. That's important for later on in the story. And then later on, it was Judah who said, what profit is it if we just kill him? Why don't we sell him? We can make some money. So they sold him to some Ishmaelites who took him down to Egypt, and they sold him to Potiphar. If you remember, Potiphar is the commander of the Egyptian army. He's a general of generals down there, and he buys him. And he puts him as a slave in Potiphar's house, And let me read I'm chapter 39 of Genesis, right at the beginning here. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And I think the next verse is very important. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. I think it's important because the Egyptians had lots of gods. But Potiphar sees that the Lord, singular, is with Joseph. Obviously, Joseph's witness and testimony, despite the situation, despite the circumstances, shows his honor and glorifying God. I think this is fantastic. And that Potiphar says, I don't know this man's God, but his God is with him. And I think this is very important. You know what happens in the story. Potiphar's wife takes an interest into Joseph, and there's the temptation. And, at the end of the day, I'm going to quickly go through that as well. Joseph is later accused of impropriety, doing something he did not do. And the accusation he was given to him would, for a slave, would been not only be killed, but be tortured and killed. Obviously, Potiphar did not believe it. He did not kill Joseph. He did compromise. He moved him to his prison and put him in charge of the prison. So Potiphar was a good thing. Well, I'll let him run my prison. How much better it would have been if Potiphar had not compromised and kept him in his house. But it was a compromise. And when you compromise, you do lose things. And Potiphar compromised. And Andy's sending me a text right now. Thank you, Brother Andy. And so he compromised. Joseph's in the prison. And he's in the prison for we don't know how long before he has the visitors, that being the butler and the baker. And he's given the responsibility of taking care of them. The second set of dreams. Both of those two guys had dreams the same nights. And Joseph said, do not dreams belong to God? And so the butler tells him his dream. And it was pressing the grapes into Pharaoh's cup and putting the cup back in his hand. Three vines. And within 3 days, Joseph interprets it. Says, within 3 days, you'll be restored to your position. The baker said, that's a good one. So he gives him his, about the baskets of bread on top of his head and the different baked items and the birds eating the baked items out of the top. And so in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to lift your head off of you and the birds are going to eat you. You remember that story. And in 3 days, it happened just as that happened. And Joseph talked to the butler, said, please remember me when you stand in the presence of Pharaoh and tell them of my plight. I want to go home. I don't belong here. I didn't do anything wrong. I want to go home. You see a picture of his desire. He wants to go home. Even despite what his brothers had done to him, he wants to go home. And he doesn't want to be in Egypt anymore. And at that point, let's see, I'm trying to figure the math, figures out, he has been there, he's been there 11 years he's been there, and he's anxious to go home. So, obviously, you know, you remember the butler forgets him, and as the Bible says, two full years pass by, complete years, one day at a time, and Joseph is doing what he always doing his service, his work to 110%, honoring, glorifying God in whatever he was doing. And then one day, the Pharaoh has two dreams. And they were so troubling to him, he calls his wise men, his magicians, whoever, and nobody can interpret the dreams. And you remember the dreams. He had the seven fat kind of cows and the seven really bad-looking cows. And the really bad-looking cows kind of do the Pac-Man thing and eat up the fat cows. And when they eat them up, they still look fat. And they still look awful and bad and skinny. And then Pharaoh wakes up, but he goes back to sleep. Then he has a dream about the 7 years of corn, seven beautiful years of corn, and then seven really bad ones torn up by the east wind. And those corn eat up the bad corn. It's like that Cinnamon Crunch cereal. You ever seen that commercial for Cinnamon Crunch cereal? They're always eating each other up.
They only grow up in the States.
Okay. There's a cinnamon crunch cereal. The cereal's always eating each other up. So anyhow, that's a rabbit trail. So Pharaoh wakes up, can't go back to sleep, and his wise men magicians cannot tell the interpretation story. The butler remembers, oh, I forgot about Joseph. And he tells Pharaoh there was a man who interpreted my dream and the baker's dream. It happened exactly as he said. So they send for Joseph. And let's see. Let's jump into, where are we here in the story? It says in 41. I did say 41, didn't I? Let me get to my Bible here. Let's see. Oh, it is 41. Okay, there we go. And then the Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. Let me get that first time. We're not moving.
I'll take it down. Yeah, now.
Okay. There we go. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph and brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and he changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. So he shaves and he changes his clothes. You ever thought why? What has happened? Something has happened at this moment. And Joseph at this point he's been in Egypt for 13 years. Those two dreams he had have been far, far away. In my mind, I'm thinking something happened that morning. When those two men showed up and said, "We heard you can interpret dreams. Pharaoh has had two dreams. He needs your help to interpret them." And all of a sudden, Joseph's life flashes before his eyes, and he realizes something. You got any idea what he realizes? He realizes that God has been in control of these past 13 years. God is in control of every step of his life. He wanted to go home, but now he realizes there's something more important going on right now. And God is God. He is exactly where God wants him. And now he's going to go in the presence of Pharaoh. Well, he dresses, he cleans himself up in a way that would honor the leader of the country that he's in. And that's what the Egyptians look like. He dressed like them. He shaved himself, cleaned himself up so he would honor Pharaoh. I think it's important. I look forward to being in heaven and ask him, what was that moment like when you realized God was in control of this entire situation? We'll talk more about that in a minute. So Pharaoh calls him in and tells him, "I've had two dreams. And I heard you can interpret dreams." And Joseph, again, honor and glorifies God. He said, "It's not in me, but God. The God can give you an answer of peace. He can tell you the answer to your dreams, an answer of peace." So Pharaoh tells him the two dreams, and Joseph said, "The two dreams are one. They both mean the same thing." And you know, I'm going rapidly because we're going to run out of time here. But rapidly tells the dream. So the fat cows, the fat ears of corn are 7 years. The thin cows are 7 years. And the bleated corn is also 7 years. 7 years of good and plenty is coming, followed by 7 years of famine, so bad that 7 years of plenty will be forgotten. And he continues the story. He says, "Let Pharaoh find a man that's wise and discreet, set him over the land so that they can save up for the 7 years of famine." And that's when Pharaoh says, "Can we find a man so wise and discreet as this man right here?" Let me find it right here. He just said me quoting all the time. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Again, Joseph honoring God. "And for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet as wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word, all my people shall be ruled. Only a throne will be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." What a change. Hours before, he was a prisoner in Pharaoh's prison, and now he's number two in the land of Egypt. You know how that goes. you know, how the story goes. Pharaoh gives Joseph six things he gives him. And I want to say something. Brother Andy says this a lot of times. God's always up to more than we realize. And that's really seen in the life of Joseph. Joseph did not realize what he was up to, but God has always been up to something. And we'll see that more in the six things God gives him. We've got them all labeled as ours. So the first thing he gives him is a new robe. Joseph's had a lot of experience with robes. He had a robe of the coat of many colors. That was taken away from him. He had the robe of leadership for Potiphar's house. That too was taken away from him. He had the robe in the prison house. He left that one behind. And now he's wearing a robe given to him by Pharaoh. And four robes right there. So that's the first R. They're all R's. The next R, he gives him a chain. A chain is a symbol of his of a statesman, of a leader. It's a symbol of a, just say a statesman, aristocracy. He gives him a ring, the signet ring. You remember the ability of a statesman to make laws in the name of Pharaoh. So that's number three. So he's given him a robe. He's given him a rank. That's his symbol. And he's given him a ring so he can make laws. Number four, this is one we like. He gives him a ride. He gives him a chariot. That's pretty cool, huh? So he gets a chariot, gets to ride around everywhere. That sounds like a lot of fun, so that's an easy one. He gives him, so that's a four. Number five, he gives him a new name. And that's a long name. It's an alphabet soup. Zephnath-Paneah. Let's see if we can find that right here. There it is. Zephnath-Paneah. Zephnath-Paneah has been translated Savior of the World, Revealer of Secrets. A lot of good things that honor and glorify God. Zephnath-Paneah. I don't know what they call him for short. I had a captain I used to fly with. He'd go by Z. And I think Z would be pretty cool. As a, says Zephnath-Paneah. Hey, Z. And then finally, the last R. The last R is romance. Gives him a wife. And it's, God's always up to more than we realize. So now he gets a wife. But we never think about Asenath. Not much is said about her. So she's the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And we don't know much about her. We have several, but this woman is going to be the mother of two tribes of Israel, Manasseh and Ephraim. We have two other women brought in, I think of, brought in from outside the Jewish line, brought into the line of Israel. We can think of Rahab, and we can think of Ruth. Both of them brought into the line of Christ. Now, Asenath is not brought into the line of Christ, but she's brought into the family. And I don't think, in my economy, I don't think it's just an idle name. It's just a story she's brought in. She's brought into the story. I think there's more to the story that we don't see. And just think, in those days, the women did not have the rights, the rules. So you can imagine her daddy coming home. Well, Asenath, pack your bags. You're getting married tonight. And she would be submissive, and she would do what she's told. And that's what I say, most women were like that, except for Potiphar's wife. But you just think, how would that, what a different life would that be? It's, okay, I'm getting married tonight. Who am I marrying? Well, this guy named Zephnath-Paneah, he has the Spirit of God in him. He is the revealer of secrets. He's going to be the number two man in the country. And in my thinking, you've heard of a general revelation before, and more of a specific revelation regarding the Word of God and so forth. General revelation is what we see in nature and stuff like that. I want to think, I'm really reading in between the lines, that Asenath was looking for something. She's grown up with Egyptian gods. Her father's a priest. And I almost want to say that she realized there's something missing. There's something more. And God recognized that and sent Joseph to her. And Joseph, as he always does, is going to tell her all about his God. And I would be willing to say that Asenath became a believer in the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Israel, and became more than just Joseph's wife. It became more of the family of God. I think that's a neat part of the story we kind of read over sometimes and go from there. So anyhow, continuing. How am I doing on time? Okay, we're doing good. So the story continues. Joseph goes right to work. He starts saving the food from the land. He takes a percentage of the food from all the crops. He starts putting in storage houses across the land for the 7 years. The 7 years come to the end and the drought begins. And then he starts selling. He's selling the food. And anyone know why he sells it? That's just an idle thought. He sells it for three things. First, he sells it for money, and then the people ran out of money. Then he sells it for their lands or their livestock, and then he sells it for their lands, and then he sells it for themselves. They sold. Eventually, he ran out of everything. So the Egyptian people sold themselves to Pharaoh. Why did he sell it to them, not give it to them? Anyone know?
To keep the economy going.
True. That would keep the economy. Really, Pharaoh really benefited from this. Then he got really rich by this. But what else? In 7 years, he took 20%. The Egyptians had 80%. With that 20%, Joseph fed the entire nation of Egypt and all the surrounding countries with 20%. What happened to the 80%? They wasted it. If he had given them the food, they'd have wasted it. But when they bought it, it became precious to them. And when they saw their money depleting, it became, oh, we got to ration this off. No, we're not throwing this away. They became really good with leftovers. You know, we save our leftovers. We don't waste our food. And it made the country a lot more efficient. And it made that food last. So anyhow, Joseph, as he always being wise and discreet, he also remembers how his family operates. And I would imagine he's probably, maybe not to the day, but he knew the season when his family is going to come looking for food, when they're going to run out, and they're going to be coming to Egypt and looking. So when they showed up, it was no surprise. He was ready for them. So he was selling the grain, and lo and behold, his 10 brothers show up, and they did not recognize him. I love this part of the story as he goes through, and he goes through the different tests. He subjects his brothers to two tests, and the reason being, last he knew of his 10 older brothers, what is that? How were his brothers? They were not very good, were they? They were bad men. Joseph has the ability to provide for them, to reward them, to give them many, many things. But to give good things and rewards to bad people doesn't make them good people. It doesn't help them out. And he needs to know if they've changed and have they learned their lesson. So he gives them a test. And the first thing he does, he tells them, he puts them all in prison, all 10 of them. And so I'm going to let one of you go. And the other 90 you're going to have to stay here. And after 3 days, he changes the situation, keeps one in prison, and lets 9 go. He's replicating, mirroring what happened to him 17 years ago. Or this, yeah, it's 9 plus 13. Yeah, 22 years ago. 22 years ago now it has happened. And he's replicating what happened to him, and it works. When they come out of prison on that third day, he's listening to them and they're talking about him. They're talking about Joseph. They changed his situation. They threw him in the pit. They were going to throw him in there dead, but then they kept him in the pit, and then after 3 days they sold him. So he did the same thing and it worked. And they're talking about Joseph. I told you shouldn't have done this. I told you, Reuben, they're arguing with one another, and Joseph is soaking it all in. And you know the story. He gives them the grain. He gives them the wheat. They go back home. They get to the first rest stop or the first inn, and they find the money in their bags. You remember that part of the story. And he says, don't come back unless you bring your younger brother. And they stood a long time. And Jacob did not want to let Benjamin, the younger brother, go. And kept him and wanted to keep him home. And it was Judah who stepped up to him. Judah changed a great deal. Judah's the one who recommended, hey, why don't we sell Joseph? And so when Jacob says, I will not let Benjamin go, Reuben stepped up and says, if I don't bring it back, you can kill my children. So in other words, Jacob, if you don't, or Dad, if I don't bring Benjamin back, you can kill your grandchildren. That'll make things better. Reuben is baffling. I don't understand what's wrong with Reuben. But Judah steps up and says, I will be the guarantee. I will bring him back. And if I don't, I will be accountable for it. I will be the guarantee for Benjamin's safety. And it's just a wonderful speech. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But he takes the guarantee and he allows them to go. So they go back to Egypt with Benjamin this time. And this time, as you know, they were in Joseph's house for that meal. They were all surprised. And Joseph knew how to sit them by age order. They're all shocked. How would this strange Egyptian know all these different things? And he sends them away. And he had the steward put a silver cup in Benjamin's feed bag. And then shortly after he left, he sent a steward after him with soldiers to capture them and said, whoever I captured with my stolen cup, do I tell that I can predict, I divine with it. I tell the future with this cup. Kind of make the story more real. I thought it was pretty cool. And so they find it with Benjamin. Benjamin has got the silver cup in his bag. Of course, he didn't. It was planted there. It was put there. The test was, what would they do? Say, he's yours. We didn't care about him. We didn't like him anyhow. You can keep him. Or would they come back? But instead, all the brothers come back. And Joseph, speaking through an interpreter, says, he's mine. I'm keeping him. He's going to prison. And you other 10 can go and take care of your families. And they won't go. And it's Judah at that moment who steps up. May I speak with you? Let me read that story. It's a beautiful story.
Take the air of that.
Okay.
And you'll have to reset the sides again. Push down rather than tap.
Okay.
And then take away that side panel, okay. The arrow there.
All right. Yeah.
Again, click or push. Yeah.
Okay.
Tap, I mean.
Font size is?
Yeah. Again. There we go.
Okay.
You have to actually physically put it.
And it's an Apple, but it's different from mine. So. Okay. Yeah, let's see.
Chapter.
Okay, all right. Excuse me.
Press hard. You gotta feel a click. No.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna do it this way. I've got it right here. Catch up to where I was. Thank you. Thank you. And Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thy anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, or an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother. And his father loveth him. And thou sayest unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if we should leave his father would die. And thou sayest unto thy servants, except thy youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, and we told him the words of my lord, that our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we can go down if our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said to us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. The one went out from me and said, surely he is torn in pieces. I saw him not since. If ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring him down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that the life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant, Judah, became a surety, a guarantee for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Thou therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go unto his brethren. For how shall I go to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that shall come upon him? It's a picture of salvation. You look at the plight of Benjamin. The Benjamin is being basically convicted, sentenced to death for a crime that didn't originate with him. The cup was planted in his bag. As we inherit sin from Adam, from another man, so was Benjamin. Judah steps in as perhaps a picture of Christ and saying, I will be the guarantee. I will take the punishment for him. And it's a beautiful picture of salvation. Judah has drastically changed. And Benjamin is being given a liberty, salvation, freedom by the sacrifice of another, being Judah at this particular time. And now we get to the dramatic part of the story. When Joseph drives at that, he saw everything he needed to see. He has all the Egyptians leave his house, and he stands there and he starts crying. And I'm sure that the 11 brothers are like, what is happening? They're not sure what is going on. It's been a very emotional days, weeks, time here, and they're not sure what has happened. But finally, Joseph, in that familiar dialect of tongue and familiar voice, I am Joseph. The last several weeks and months, they've been reminded about Joseph. They've been thinking a lot about Joseph. And now all of a sudden they hear, I am Joseph. And let's read here in chapter 45. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. I bet they couldn't. I love to tell my boys in my classroom my story. The world came to a stop at that moment. Baby stopped crying. Dog stopped barking. Everybody stopped and turned and looked. There was it's commercial. There was a Visa card commercial, and they were bragging about these Visa cards and buying your stuff. And a lady comes up with a checkbook, and the picture turns to a black and white screen, and the world stops, and even the little statues almost start crying. It just, everybody stops. And I think that's just the moment. The whole world stopped at that moment. I am Joseph. And just think about that. Just the drama behind them. Yes, they're troubled. Their life is flashing before their eyes. Yeah, that is Joseph. Look at his eyes. Look at his mouth. And he start recognizing. He looks like Joseph. He sounds like Joseph. And then they start remembering all that they've been had to remember for the last couple weeks. Oh, we threw him in the pit. We sold him to slavery. We have told our dad for the last 22 years that he was torn apart by lions. And now he is, you remember those dreams? And now we are on our knees before him as he stands in an elevated place. He is number two. What could he possibly do to us? What could possibly happen? And let's read the story. It says, and his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Yes, they were. All except for one. I taught the class for years and years, and finally one of the boys raised his hand. Is it Zachary? Zachary raised his hand and says, "Mr. Clute, I still have a question." I said, "Yes, what's your question?" He goes, "Does Benjamin know?" I go, "Excuse me?" He goes, "Does Benjamin know?" "And know what?" He goes, "About being sold into slavery." And at that moment I realized Benjamin believes the same lie his father's been told. Benjamin believes that Joseph was torn apart by lions or animals. Wild animals got him. And now he finds out that these 10 guys who he's been hanging around with, who he's by himself with, they actually sold him. Sold him in slavery. I can see him just moving a little further away from them, you know. I mean, these 10 guys, you know. Wow. So he's probably not troubled. He's a little confused, very confused. Wants to know more of the story. And Joseph and his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said to him, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 more years. God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and save your lives by a great deliverance." And so I'll stop right there for a second. Wow, that's a most dramatic thing. 3 triumphs in that part of the story. The triumph of righteousness. Joseph chose to live a righteous life. Many people, and may never see the fruit of that righteousness until perhaps they get to heaven. Joseph got to see it that moment. He lived a righteous life through serving his father at home, to being a slave in Egypt, in Potiphar's house, the whole incident with Potiphar's wife, the prison house, and now serving Pharaoh as number two in the land. He has lived a righteous life, and now he's seen some of the fruit of that reward for that. We may not see it till we get to heaven. So there's a triumph of righteousness. There's a triumph of grace. if Joseph, in revenge, threw his brothers into prison, could they say anything against it? They knew they were guilty. They knew that they had done wickedness. They knew that it would be deserved. But by grace, He offered to them freedom. He did not throw them in. He took that penalty away from them. The grace of salvation pictured right there. Then finally, there's a triumph of perspective. Joseph says, "God sent me before you to preserve prosperity in the earth, to save your lives by great deliverance. Now it was not you that sent me hither, but God hath made me a father of Pharaoh and lord of his house and ruler throughout the land of Egypt." First, his brothers had to have the perspective realizing that God had planned this. But also Joseph had a perspective. And I think that goes back to that first morning when the servants came and got him. He realized that God was in charge of all this entire trial. At that time, it was 13 years. God is in charge of the whole thing. And Joseph realized it at that moment and realized, I'm in the hand of God. And I am, therefore, whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And God's got me going to Pharaoh's house. And he realized at that moment that God was in charge and continued to honor and glorify God. So that's my lesson for today. I went kind of fast. But comments and questions? Anybody confused, angry, or mad? Anybody have thought about selling your brothers? Yeah.